Welcome to the CCTA wake-up call. My name is Bob Griswold. First off, I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Kim Fink.
And I think because we did have Thanksgiving just recently, Pat, I'm going to ask you to fill in a little bit on, I guess, an older menu.
Yeah, I found the restaurant's $18.99 Thanksgiving menu. And the prices are in cents. And it's in soups, fish, relevé, entrees, roast, game, cold game, dishes to order, salads, new vegetables, sweet dishes, fruit, cheese, waffles.
Wow.
You can only eat waffles till 3 p.m., though. Turkey is listed under roast. It's the only thing that we really recognize as a Thanksgiving turkey stuffed with chestnuts, 75 cents.
75 cents. Wow. Mm-hmm. And this is at a restaurant.
This is at a restaurant.
This is before the Federal Reserve got hold of our money.
And I was particularly impressed by the amount of game. They've got Philadelphia squab, woodcock, red-headed duck, partridge, English snipe, real birds, teal duck, reed birds, golden plover, mallard duck, grouse, canvasback duck, and ruddy duck. About 75 cents, $1.50, if you want to eat game.
Now, what kind of roast do they have?
Roast. They have ribs of prime beef, 60 cents.
Wow.
Long Island duckling with applesauce is 50 cents. Turkey stuffed with chestnut, 75 cents. Philadelphia chicken,
$2.
$2. $2.
Everything's high in Philly.
In Philly.
And lamb with mint sauce, 75 cents. Ham with port wine sauce, 65 cents.
But that's interesting because you've got the $2 chicken because people were probably not raising chickens at the rate that they are currently raising chickens, and it probably was not as common as some of the other things.
Well, all three of the dishes to order, made to order, are hothouse chicken.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
it
is.
It's also interesting that there wasn't regular stuffing and there wasn't the traditional mashed potatoes and green bean casserole and sweet potato casserole. And
well, let's see.
They have pecan pie.
Yeah, what are their vegetables?
And where are the marshmallows that go on the sweet potatoes?
They have new vegetables. They have cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, carrots and cream, boiled potatoes, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, baked sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Celery, braised au jus, fried eggplant, lima beans, string beans, boiled onions, stuffed green peppers, cream spinach, and artichokes. It doesn't say artichokes. It says artichokes.
Interesting.
Yeah, typo. Whatever that is. And the fish, fried oyster crabs, 75 cents. Terrapin, Maryland style, $2.50. Philadelphia style, $2.50. Plaza style, $3. I think this is the Plaza restaurant. They have fried green smelts, fried scallops, broiled mackerel, kingfish, filet of striped bass, oyster crabs, Newburgh, $1. Broiled green smelts, scallops, chicken halibut saute, smelts, and whitebait saute. I can't imagine a restaurant having this much food on hand,
really?
Much less having patrons that can eat this much food. But in 1899, they ate big meals.
Because they
worked.
It
took a long time. No, those people couldn't afford to buy this. This is the upper class at the Plaza Hotel. Those people ate.
But they still, if you're talking, what's the year again?
1899.
Okay, to get from one place to another, you rode a horse. That's involuntary exercise. So you were still probably much more mobile.
Well, the women rode in carriages.
That's true, but they also did laundry they had servants to do laundry.
Oh, we're talking about upper class.
You know,
1899.
Looking at again, quickly looking at that menu, and you look at some of the items that were 25 cents or 75 cents or whatever else, even if you slipped two digits, so 25 cents became $25, that's the normal price of today's menu.
Yeah.
Unreal.
All right. So now that we've, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, and I think in 1899, I hope they enjoyed their Thanksgiving also.
They're huge Thanksgiving.
They're yeah. huge Thanksgiving. Mary, where do we want to go?
I want to put Pat on the spot again.
Uh-oh.
Pat has a legal background, and I want to talk about an article in Zero Hedge about the January 6th prisoners, political prisoners. Because the first two January 6th appeals have reached the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And there are so many violations in the Constitution about the way those people have been treated, how they've been denied hearings, how they've been put in solitary confinement, and they've not had fair trials. And this should be interesting, but I want to hear your legal take on it, Pat.
Well, these cases both have the same lawyer bringing them. And so both of them have been distributed for conference, and the conference will take place on December 1st. So we will know by the 4th of December whether or not the court has decided to hear the cases.
Okay.
So we don't know that yet. The first case is Edward Jacob Lange, petitioner versus United States. And this could impact all of them because it's been charged in 317 cases. And it's called corruptly obstructing an official proceeding, which carries a potential 20-year prison term. Dozens of defendants have already been convicted under the law, which has never been used in such a way since it was implemented in 2002 as a means to curb corporate financial fraud. So it's another one of those cases of bending the words of the statute to enlarge its ambit to catch unsuspecting people up in the maw of the law. The second case is the guy that took his badge. I think he was DEA. Took
yes.
his badge and his gun, which he's required or allowed to do. And so they charged him with carrying a weapon on Capitol grounds, flashing his badge. He climbed on a statue, so they charged him with that, too. And so the basis of his case is that the fact that he had a badge and service gun was allowed, so he shouldn't have been charged. So we'll see what happens with these. I'll be curious to see if the court agrees to hear them.
So historically, I think we've seen, show me the person, I'll find you the crime.
That's exactly what January 6th was. And as more videotapes are coming out, they're finding out that the police misbehaved more than the protesters. And they're also starting to find out that there were, in addition to federal agents and NGO agents in the crowd, there were also Democrats who dressed up as Trump supporters who caused problems.
And there was also Antifa.
Yes, dressed up as Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I mean, President Trump has held rallies all over the country for five or six years now, at least. And his rallies have not been violent. There hasn't been a problem. And all of a sudden, on January 6th, this happens. And that alone makes you a little bit suspicious in terms of what was going on and who was behind it.
Well, it couldn't have been more clear when Trump, in front of the group, said, now it's time to peacefully and
yes.
go down and calmly, peacefully, what the exact word did you
right.
to go down to the Capitol building. And then they're still charging him or tried to charge him with insurrection. And even though no one has actually been convicted, there was, I think it was in Colorado, state of Colorado, they tried to take him off the ballot mm-hmm. because he was leading an insurrection. Even though nobody, even at the Capitol, none of those people were ever convicted of insurrection. But it shows the degree to which the judicial system in this country is out of control. Another issue that Trump's dealing with are the gag orders.
Oh.
This notion that a judge can restrict your freedom of speech under the Constitution because they don't like the possibility that you might say something negative about them or their staff or whatever. And my understanding of gag orders is The only way it's supposed to be used legally, if you are threatening a witness or some, you know, really in that context, but not to, to keep a defendant from saying something about the court process. And that's what's going on. I mean, the judges in this country, they have really gone down, in my opinion, in terms of the degree to which you can rely on them to be objective weighers of fact. And that's just unfortunate. Well,
and actually reading the Constitution.
Well, yeah, one of the
following it.
One of the problems with the gag order, in my estimation, is that under the prosecutorial rules of ethics, the prosecution is not to comment on a case that they are prosecuting. And yet, what we get from Jack Smith is constant leaks and comments about Trump. In his case against Trump, if he was following the ethical rules, then the defense would keep their mouth shut too, because you know they're telling their client, "You have the right to remain silent. So why don't you exercise it? Because anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law." And Trump tends to be
vocal.
Vocal. That's a good word.
I just want to mention one more thing about January 6th. The problems at the Capitol started before Trump finished speaking. The people who were at the Trump rally, generally speaking, were not involved in the problems. And I think that needs to be mentioned. Also, when was the last time you had an insurrection with nobody carrying a gun? I mean, that's, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
And the insurrection being invited into the Capitol by
the
police.
Yes, that's another part of it, yes.
When we come back, I've got the definition of the rebellion statute
that
Trump has been charged, and something called the Brandenburg test, which is also known as the incitement test.
Okay,
we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be right back. This is a CCTA wake-up call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat?
Yeah, I wanted to cover the rebellion or insurrection statute, one of those that Trump's been charged with. This is in the D.C. case, and it was passed June 25th, 1948. And it reads, whoever incites, sets on foot, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof, or gives aid or comfort thereto, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. So one of the issues is whether or not Trump incited violence by things that he said at the rally, right? Well, in 1969, Ku Klux Klan leader Clarence Brandenburg made a speech at an Ohio rally. And in that speech, he said, "If our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court continues to suppress the white Caucasian race, it's possible that there might have to be some revengeance taken." Nice word, revengeance. So he was fined and sentenced to prison under Ohio state laws. But when it got to the U.S. Supreme Court, the court overturned his conviction, saying that such speech couldn't be punished unless it, quote, is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action, unquote. So since this man's name was Clarence Brandenburg, they came up with the Brandenburg test. The Supreme Court likes to set up tests, okay? It's also known as the incitement test, and it's been used repeatedly to protect speakers across the political spectrum who stop short of offering what one ACLU lawyer has described as an, quote, immediate roadmap for violence, unquote. So when his case gets to the Supreme Court, based on this, one would gather that the Supreme Court's going to find that his language is not an immediate roadmap for violence.
I remember Madonna standing up saying she wanted to blow up the White House.
Yeah, burn it down.
And I also remember Maxine Walters saying anytime you see a representative in a restaurant, basically go and accost them. That was asking for immediate reactions.
And that, if you remember, Sarah Hutchinson, Sanders, is that her name?
Yeah.
The current governor of Arkansas. Huckabee, that's what it was. Her family was essentially told in a Washington restaurant that they would not be served because of her involvement with the Trump administration. So, I mean, I guess it's okay when Democrats behave badly. But it's not okay if Republicans...
Double standard.
Well, yes. It's nice to know that that restaurant went under.
Yes, I do know that.
It just closed. And, you know, the building was painted red, and the name of the restaurant was the Red Hen. And the locals who are red staters called it the Commie Cluck.
Hmm? What about the people that were inciting the riots during the Black Lives Matters riots,
and
paying the bail? I mean, we had politicians paying
Kamala Harris.
Well, I was trying to be nice.
No,
that's hard for me too. So,
but
anyway,
again, if a prosecutor doesn't take up the cause and charge somebody, they get away with it scot-free.
You cannot make an elected district attorney charge a case. The judge can't order them to do it. The attorney general can't order them to do it. They are an elected official, and they have total discretion.
And we as individuals can't do it.
We can't order them to do
it.
The reason they're elected is because if your district attorney is not prosecuting cases that you think ought to be prosecuted, you vote them out at the end of their term. That's what you do with all other elected officials. Because when I was district attorney, I had citizens coming to me all the time, and I had a lawyer write me a letter, you have to file this. No, I don't. You know, because it was a case where I had told them I wouldn't file a case based on this police officer's testimony because he had been shown to be a liar. And, they wrote a letter to me on his behalf that said, "You will file this case." No, I won't.
Alan, you wanted to do...
Yeah, while we're talking about legal things, and we all, I think, agree that we've got serious problems with our judicial system in this country now. There is a case that the Supreme Court has agreed to take up, and I believe it's Darcy, I believe it's the name of it. Anyway, what the the case has to do with is to do the federal agencies have the authority to issue all these regulations that they've been issuing on their own, and not only issuing the regulations, but they've actually been prosecuting and fining people for violation of regulations that have no basis in the law if you define the law as something that's passed by Congress. And the court, if this case is actually ruled in favor of the defendants, it will put a serious restriction, which I hope to God they do this, on federal agencies, Department of Education, Environmental Protection Agency, whatever, to issue their own regulations. This will seriously curtail what the bureaucrats are doing. We are increasingly a country ruled by bureaucrats, and these bureaucrats will have their authority very much reduced and restricted if the Supreme Court rules in this case. And that is, they have agreed to hear this case. So the outcome could be very, very impactful, and I'm certainly something that we should monitor, and hopefully they'll rule in the correct direction.
I'm going to predict the outcome of that case. Supreme Court's going to say it's up to Congress, because Congress delegated their lawmaking authority to these administrative agencies. And if the administrative agencies come out with something that Congress doesn't like, they're free to legislate against it. And I think the Supreme Court's going to say it's up to Congress to curtail it.
Well, the only thing about that, Pat, is that if the Supreme Court was leaning in that direction, why would they even take the case?
To make that this point.
I don't think this Supreme Court is going to endorse more bureaucratic control. If they do, then we have the wrong Republicans on the Supreme Court. I'm hoping that they're going to go the direction that constitutional judges should go, and that is to reinforce the notion that the Constitution does not allow the legislature to give their authority to somebody else. This, which is the essence of this, that these rules and regulations can't be given to an agency by the legislature. The legislature is required by the Constitution to enact laws. They can't defer that to somebody else. That's, I think, the heart of the matter in terms of curtailing what agencies are doing. We'll see.
I stand by my prediction. I think the reason they took the case is appointed message to Congress. Well, it's up to them to rein in the regulatory agencies.
Since gambling is now going to be legal in North Carolina at some point, maybe we should be taking bets on this, right?
But who writes the laws anyway? Congress isn't writing the laws.
The lobbyists.
They're being written by K Street. I mean, Congress has become a place where people go that they don't do their job, and they get paid well, and they get a retirement plan. I mean, we are so
And good health care. Don't forget, good health care.
You're such a cynic, Mary.
I know, but we are so far from what we began.
And indemnity from crimes.
Well, that too. Well, but only if you're a Democrat.
We've also seen, again, coming down from New England, we also saw the regulations, not the law, but the regulations destroy the fishing industry up there. And it was strictly regulations. And then we came down here, and we've seen them trying to do the same thing. We went to that meeting in Emerald Isle or whatever else. And I think the only saving grace was when Bob Steinberg was a senator, and they were going to put through some new regulations. And he referenced them back to regulations 15 years ago or 10 years ago and said, so what has the effect been of those regulations? Oh, we've never measured it. And so he... This died on the vine.
He shamed him.
Mm. Where do we want to go next?
I'm very troubled by how this is being handled. First of all, it appears that our government is leaning on Israel to continue these, quote, pauses, which is what ceasefire is what they really are. They call them a pause. Again, the left always like to change the language of everything. And what they're basically doing is they are making the hostage-taking process exactly what Hamas wanted. If you have a process where you can control someone else by taking another person as a hostage, you are in fact achieving your objective, which is what they've done. They took the hostages, they killed 1,400 people, and then they have 240 plus hostages. We don't know exactly how many. And now they're trading them. And what are they getting for a return? They're getting convicted criminals. People have been through the courts, and they're getting three times as many as they're releasing. Mm-hmm. And this is right on the heels of what Biden did when he gave, $6 billion to Iran to release those Americans. And what really troubles me is Israel in the 60s and early 70s, when there was a lot of people that were actually they were actually kidnapping people through getting airplanes, going to airports, and so on and so forth. Israel stopped that by refusing to negotiate for the release of hostages. Mm-hmm. And they went in, and their goal and what they did was destroy the people who were doing it. And what we're losing here, or what's going on with this process, it's going to encourage more hostage taking and not less. And, I hate the idea that a poor hostage would be harmed is something we all hate to see. But if you open the floodgates up, you're going to get more hostage taking all over the world and all these troubles.
And we see as the United States tries to help in, quote, help in this situation, they're trying to extend this peace, truce,
yes.
and unnecessarily. Folks, we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back, and again, thanks for listening to the show. Alan? No, Glenn, sorry.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about the hostage situation, and it is just maddening to me what a passive approach that we're taking on these hostage, the hostages themselves and the releases. One American kind of child was let go because they had dual citizenship, but no Americans, just plain Americans, have been let go. And we don't know the names of them. There's not been any discussion in the news about what are we doing to get them released. We're totally dependent on what Israel's doing, and they're doing a fine job of fighting this war. But America has to take a more direct, proactive approach to getting, because they really took out war against the United States on that day when they took those hostages. That's
well,
my only extra
well,
comment.
Biden's not going to do anything because he's being whipsawed by the political effect. He comes out for Israel, and all over this country, all of these protesters that are for Hamas show up, and his polls sink because none of those people are, you know, the young people exactly are not going to vote for him. So then he comes out for Hamas. Then he's pretending that he's for Israel. And so until he actually takes a stand, we don't know where our government is.
And at the same time, we've had over 70 attacks on the American forces over there.
Yeah.
And we've done nothing.
And Blinken's just Blinken. He's kind of following our president, which is a sad state of affairs.
Well, Blinken's an advocate for Iran.
I think that this hostage taking thing would be better dealt with an approach that gives us, or the Israelis in this case, something to get back at the Hamas about. Let's assume Hamas wants these prisoners released. So what you say to them, if you don't release the hostages by a certain date, and for every hostage that's killed, okay, we're going to kill one of your prisoners. One of these people that are your people that you want out, we're going to execute them. Three for one would be even better. Unless you fight fire with fire, you cannot win. Because these people are not going to cave in out of any sense of humanitarianism. They're going to do what they're forced to do. And that's the only way to get back at them, in my opinion.
There was a reporter on Sky News, which is out of Australia, a lefty woman, and she was talking to an Israeli member of their government, and she said, basically, isn't the fact that you're releasing three Palestinians for each one hostage proof that you think less of Palestinian lives than you do of Israeli lives? He went off on her. Just put her in her place. I can't believe you said that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, how are we continuing to provide, quote, humanitarian aid that we know gets turned into weapons aid?
Because remember when we talked about propaganda, how we're all supposed to believe stuff that we all know to be untrue? Bingo. Same thing here. Same issue.
Well, you know, Israel didn't used to negotiate with hostages. And I remember Entebbe, when they went in and they rescued the hostages. And I know that Benjamin Netanyahu's brother was killed in that raid. And a hostage who had been taken to the hospital was later murdered because she was not among those rescued. But they had an advantage there that Israel had designed and built that airport, so they had the plans. And they knew exactly what they were going into and exactly where things were. Of course, with the tunnels, all built with UNRWA money and U.S. taxpayer dollars, they don't know. But I don't know. This negotiating with hostages is only going to create more hostages. And it's the Muslim term is hudna, which means let's call a truce while we rearm. And that's what's going on. And it's not good for anybody.
Where are we going off to next?
Can I talk about my government grocery store?
Oh, sure. Go for it.
Okay. The Chicago mayor, who's a socialist, an avowed socialist, he wants to cure the problem of food deserts in Chicago by starting a government-run grocery store. Now, the profit margin in a grocery store is 1% to 2%, and grocery stores have competition. So the grocery stores that closed and left town in Chicago, Walmart, Dollar General, whatever, they left because of the crime.
The pilfering, yeah.
Yeah, the pilfering, and they had to hire more security, drove costs up. If you're working on a 1% to 2% margin, you can't operate that way. So they closed up and left. Well, what makes this mayor think that they're not going to pilfer from his grocery store?
about the loss because it's going to be paid by the taxpayers.
Exactly.
The taxpayers are going to be absorbing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't have to make a profit.
Well, there is a government-run grocery store. I'm surprised to find out. It's in Erie, Kansas. And the Erie, Kansas one is, they've made money 1 year, or 1 month of 1 year. And they tell the Journal that the store's manager says the goal is to only lose $100,000 this year. last year, they lost $132,000.
But that's taxpayer money, is it not?
Yes.
No, it's just paper.
This governor wants to start his own. But, you know, as a socialist, government is always the solution, right? Now, this mayor continues to prove how stupid he is. He now is basically, there's a lot of unrest in Chicago between the blacks and the migrants.
Yes.
And the blacks are saying, you need to attend to us, not to them. The mayor is blaming this on Trump and Republicans, to which I say, is there nothing Trump can't do? But he says we have to have better coordination. What we have seen is a raggedy form instituted by right-wing extremism. Everybody knows that the right-wing extremism in this country has targeted democratically ran cities, and quite frankly, they've been very intentional about going after democratically ran cities that are led by people of color.
Now, I'm assuming you're quoting him because your English is better than that.
It is. I'm quoting him, and he says, their whole motivation is to create disruption and chaos because that's what this particular party is about. This is the same political party that did not want to accept that Obama was an American. It's the same Republican right-wing extremism that stormed the Capitol. It's the same right-wing extremism that refuses to accept the results of the Civil War. It's raggedy. It's disrespectful. It's mean-spirited. It's an unclean spirit, quite frankly.
This follows on the Gettysburg Address of Abe Lincoln, I think it's.
Well, he's got the Civil War card and the race card.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a national treasure.
I've got a couple local things if we're ready to change topic. The State Board of Education met last week, and with the new law that was passed with the Parents' Bill of Rights, there's an appeals process for parents if they have a grievance with their local school board. And I could see how this would have come in really handy when we were worrying about the books in our libraries last year. But what this process outliner is that if a parent has a written grievance to a school board that they don't address, they can go to the State Board of Education with a written complaint, including all the evidence that they have gone through the proper channel at the local level. They will be granted an attorney that is going to be called a hearing officer, who is basically a lawyer that has experience in school administration kind of things. But the school district has to pay for this lawyer, so it's not a free process. But then a hearing has to happen within 30 days after that officer has been assigned. Once that is concluded, the officer approaches the state board with the findings, and then everything that's relevant to the law, the policies, and the rules that apply with the parent's grievance are addressed. And the state board then will vote to either approve, reject, or amend the officer's recommendation so that the parents do have an avenue to appeal a local school board's decision, and that could have anything to do with a truancy to dress code, to, you know, whatever your policy would be. But this is good information, because in the past that hasn't been so.
You had no recourse before.
Right. There was no other resource. But anyhow, this parent's guide will include all this information, and it's going to have to be given out at the beginning of the school year to all parents what their rights are. And that'll be new. The other information that was shared at the November school board was about the Read to Achieve program, which, I think it's been more than 10 years. And it was supposed to be that all the kids would be reading at grade level by the time they got done with third grade. And that has been an up and down thing. And right now, the latest results are showing that program tanked during COVID, but it's starting to come back up. This last year, it showed that the academic levels were coming up, but they're still not good.
I want to comment real quick on what you said about the appeal process. If the school district has to pay for this, it seems to me that it's in their interests to be more attentive to the comments by the parents.
Right. Well, like I said, I'm thinking of specific people who came to the board time after time after time after time with no response, no recourse.
Just a form letter.
Exactly.
Well, the weakness in that procedure is that they appoint a hearing officer. Who's the hearing officer?
It's an attorney.
I know, but it's drawn from a group of attorneys that work with the school board all the time. So who's buttering their bread? That's who's paying them.
And your appeal goes to a Cooper-appointed school board.
Yeah, so Raleigh.
So yeah. That makes the local board election process, getting conservative boards in to get this stuff corrected locally, to be imperative.
So, mm-hmm. So in the parallel of this is trying to get a fair hearing before tax court.
Yeah.
folks, we're going to take a
or
break.
Or DWI court.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah. Thank you.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. this Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina. Pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Kim.
Yes, I wanted to talk a little bit about the restraining order that's been requested by Governor Cooper over the State Board of Elections. Recently they passed Senate Bill 749 that was titled No Partisan Advantage in Elections, that basically said that there would be an equal number of Democrats and Republicans on the election board, and that's slated to take effect January 1 of 2024. Well, Cooper's lawyers have filed a restraining order motion in Wake County Superior Court that says that allowing those changes will result in, quote, immediate and irreparable harm, loss, or damage to the governor, end quote. Well, this filing is based on he claims that it'll create deadlocks because if there's there'll be a tie. And the way that the current board is set up, the governor's party is the majority of the people on that board. So there's never a tie. And this would create ties. But he goes on to say that this law will also undermine fair elections and faith in our democracy by sending disputes of our highly partisan legislatures and courts. The bill will likely reduce early voting and create longer lines at the polls. Well, I can't figure out, and I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer, but how is it going to create longer lines at the polls?
When we had voter ID, we had shorter lines at the poll because people just handed over their license and it got scanned and the line moved quickly. If you have an unusual name that has to be spelled, and I say that as a Griswold because a lot of people tend to spell Griswold with an A and it's spelled with an O. So, I mean, you know, you save time. And I love it. Any program or any law or any change that a Democrat doesn't like is a threat to democracy.
Well this is the governor's part of his problem is it's a separation of powers problem. It's impinging on his authority, his executive authority, to appoint people to that board.
But not just that, it's also the types of things that the Board of Elections does. They do the rules, and what this is trying to do is take out the advantage that one party may have over another with some of these rules. And they've already challenged, you know, like the voter ID stuff. But if they have it even 4-4, I could see there being a deadlock issue, but that just means that they will have to work with each other to get whatever rule changes that they want. But also, the challenges in provisional ballots, the challenges in results. Remember hanging chads?
Oh, yes.
Who could forget?
Yeah. So if it's equal and not a, quote, balance on the side of the majority, I think it would probably help people feel like it's more fair versus biased.
Also, sometimes a deadlock is not a bad thing. Sometimes a deadlock prevents mischief.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody else have a comment on that?
Again, the question now, the board would be made up of equal members from the two major parties right now. I'm going to say the minor parties aren't playing in this thing right now. But who gets to decide those appointees? It would still be the governor, I believe, but the governor has to work from a slate proposed by the various parties.
Correct. Yeah.
So he's still working with people that each party considers credible.
Correct.
At least from
But this goes to the local people too. This just isn't at the state house. This is at the local level as well.
But again, it's names from that are considered credible
but
within
it goes
the party.
It goes all the way down to naming who the precinct officials are at your voting place. You know, our Board of Elections approves the people who are put forward to be the elections judges. So it's a big deal.
I want to go back to national issues just for a moment. And I want to talk about a search warrant that Special Counsel Jack Smith put out. He sent it to Twitter requesting the information on anyone who liked a tweet that Donald Trump tweeted, everyone who interacted with President Trump on Twitter, he wants all the information on. Any reaction to that?
Why?
What's the
so he can find out who the insurrectionists are.
And do what?
When you have a search warrant issue, when you ask for one, you have to say, here's what I'm looking for, and I'm going to find it in X place. So what is he looking for?
The search warrant request is redacted. Surprise, surprise. But it requests a list of all users who liked or retweeted posts from President Trump between October 2020 and January 2021. One, including all associated logs and metadata, which could cover location data.
Okay, to which Trump tweets?
They could be retweeted. Now he forwarded. I've forwarded things that other people have written, and I've put on my one little comment being ridiculous. Okay. Now, am I affirming
you're a
that
domestic
tweet?
Terrorist?
I'm a domestic. Okay. And
now, Twitter initially delayed complying with a request, and was fined $350,000. The warrant also requests all IP addresses associated with Trump's account and a list of all devices to use to log into it, which means that any staffer or aide who logged into the account would have their information.
Well, this has got to be connected to the January 6th insurrection. So he must be asking for whoever responded to a Trump text at that time so that he can extend his list of people the FBI needs to go raid and haul down to court for being a domestic terrorist.
But this is not, this has got to be in violation of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, but so what?
No, search warrants are a violation of the 4th Amendment.
Oh, okay. But I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, it is because it's over broad. And it doesn't go to prove anything that he's trying to prove in that lawsuit.
And what about freedom of speech?
Yeah, protect, why should the government investigate you just because you liked something?
And just putting a like on it doesn't mean you liked it. It means you heard it, you saw it, you could approve of it.
I acknowledge it passed by me, yeah.
Right, you're just acknowledging it. But like Bob said, if you just say, I said ridiculous, that doesn't mean I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's asking for a whole lot more information that should be legal.
With this, this whole issue about what we're discussing is really straight out of George Orwell's 1984.
Yes.
Where you had the Ministry of Truth. And what they did was they tracked what you said. And we are now, for the technology we have and these social platforms, we can do that now. We can track not only what you say, how you respond to something that somebody else puts on social media, and they can track your location with your phone. They know exactly where you are, what times. We are just allowing ourselves to be totally monitored all the damn time. And here we are. I'm going to talk about TikTok for a minute, one of my favorite things that we need to get rid of. TikTok is capable and doing the same thing, gathering all this information about all the users that are on it. And this is a social site that is run by the Chinese Communist Party. They are our biggest adversary. They are determined to destroy us, and we are allowing all of our children, and it's mostly children that are on, not only, but I think the majority of people on it are younger people. And we are allowing this to happen. And we really need to stop this TikTok. We need to ban TikTok in this country. And we need to stop fooling around with it. And, you know, people say, well, it's freedom of speech. And it's not. It's giving information to our adversaries. And we don't know. If we're worried about what Jack Smith is going to do with it, shouldn't we be worried about what they're going to do with this information in China when they get their hands on everything they need?
Also, the interesting thing about TikTok is the difference in American TikTok and Chinese TikTok. In China, TikTok has science experiments, visits to museums, and things like this. In America, TikTok has people doing stupid things. It's like America's home, funniest home videos, or it has might have animal videos, or it might. It's just ridiculous. It's not the same thing. If it were educational, maybe, but it's, again, it's a tool of the Chinese communists. The other tool of the Chinese communists to be aware of is something called Temu, because that's another information collector, and it is quite possible, I can't prove this, but it is quite possible that the things you buy on Temu are made with slave labor.
Temu is kind of like an Amazon. You can find a lot of things for sale at very, very, very cheap prices.
Which is what convinces me we may be dealing with slave labor. And again, that's the come on to get you to buy things there.
Well, Kim Komando has a commercial on the radio that warns people about Temu.
Yeah. And it's something that we don't want any part of.
Agreed.
Hey, by the way, transgender players are banned from international women's cricket.
Yay.
I like it.
And the other thing, Riley Gaines apparently was awarded $1.2 million, I guess.
By the NCAA, and they're going to let her compete again?
And
against women?
And let her compete against women only.
Good. That's great to hear that.
That is. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Has she graduated or from college, or is she still a student?
No, she's graduated.
Okay, so they're going to let her compete even though she's
graduated.
Well,
she'd have to be a student.
They're making an exception because of what happened.
That was my question.
I think they're making
an
exception.
Can't you be a red shirt or stuff like that?
I think you still have to be a student.
Yeah, we don't know that.
For further investigation.
All right. Well,
I'm wrong and she hasn't graduated.
We're going to wrap up the show again. Thanks for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a wonderful week.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.